Hello and welcome back to New Every Day. I'm Carrie, and today on our show we have a very special guest, Rob Webb, who happens to be my dad, and he's going to be talking about the authority of the Bible.
Got mad skills? Now hone them. Learn new skills or improve your existing ones with online video tutorials and training from lynda.com through our special link at cat5.tv/lynda. Learn software, technology, creative and business skills you can use today to help you achieve your professional goals. Join today and start learning. We'll give you this chance to try it absolutely free with unlimited access to all of the courses. Sign up now for free, cat5.tv/lynda.
Well, welcome back. Again, we have a special guest here, Rob Webb, my dad. Thanks, Dad, for coming on the show.
My pleasure.
How are you?
I'm fine.
Good
to be here.
Thank you. When I first asked you to come on the show, you suggested the topic of the authority of the Bible. And why did that come to your mind as something that you wanted to share with others?
Well, it's been my experience when I've gone to share the gospel and I speak of the Lord and I reference the Bible. It's happened where people were questioning, well, that's fine for you. You believe in the Bible. You have your source. I have my own. And so I think we need to have a way and a reason why people would trust the authority of the Scripture. We need to have those answers. Now, not everyone would have that question, but when it comes up, and I think in our own hearts, we need to understand who we are and why the Bible is our authority, and be able to give that evidence when we're asked. So I think it's important to validate what we're saying. The Lord has given us evidence, and the lengths that He's gone to get His word to us is absolutely phenomenal. And the depth of the truth there and the evidence. And so it's exciting to see what God has done and the lengths He's gone to, and to be able to share that and give evidence and support for the gospel and your reference as the Scriptures as authority. So I've had those instances where people have rejected what I've said about the Scriptures and about the gospel, but when I've referenced the authority and given them evidence why I believe, the conversation has changed. So that's why.
Because suddenly it has a different undertone to it, that there is some weight to what you're saying.
And I think a lot of people have, it's just hearsay, and I know this for myself before I was a Christian. I just believed what I'd heard other people say about the Scriptures, that they were, they were written by men and they can't possibly be the words of God and all these things that you just write them off no one can know the truth. And so I just regurgitate these things that I had heard and I never took the time to investigate. And when I came to the Lord, He put upon my heart to study His Scriptures, and He's revealed amazing depths of truth. And this is fantastic evidence now that scholars for the last 50 years have just, it's there, and the evidence is on our side. And I think we need to know that. And I think it's important. God's gone to those lengths to show us.
So. Well, I remember as a kid, before we came to Christ, because you came to Christ when you were in your 40s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I was in my teens. And I remember even before that, your personality was always, very kind of scientific and logical, and there's explanations for things. We would have conversations at the dinner table, and I would ask Dad, how's the toilet work, and how's all these things happen, and why is that true? And Dad would always indulge me and explain things, and there was always a reason. Actually, it was more of a tactic to avoid going to bed as a kid, but but I can appreciate that, for people who want to have a solid understanding of what they believe and make sure it's not riddled with holes, God has provided enough evidence for that.
Absolutely.
And we can know that the Bible is true and what we are reading is true. Well, last week when we had Carmen on the program, she was sharing how with her mental illness, she would have lies in her head that she knew were not true about mm-hmm. who she was and whether she was going to heaven or hell. And she would combat those lies with scripture because she knew that it was true. And she started to do a lot of research in apologetics and gaining a greater understanding about why we can put our trust in the Bible. And that helped solidify in her mind that, yes, God loves me. That, yes, he has a plan for my life. He does care for me, and I am going to heaven when I die.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she knew that it was true, she's able to combat those lies in her mind, and to today, and up to today, stay strong in that. So I think it's really interesting and perfect timing that we're talking about this right after addressing mental illness and Christianity. So,
yeah.
And I mean, I think of the Bible, the Sunday school songs, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Well, if that's it, then I want to know that it's true.
Yes.
So where do you usually start, Dad? I know that you have often had these conversations with young people about why they can trust the Bible. So where do you even begin?
Well, I've had these conversations with people I've met at my work and been sharing my faith. And normally where I go is just briefly to ask them questions about, do they know anything about the Bible? Do they understand how it has come together, how it's compiled, that there's an Old and a New Testament, and when those books were written, the time frames when they're written. So we have an Old Testament that there's 37 books in the Old Testament or 39 books in the Old Testament that were written hundreds of years before Jesus. I mean, the last book of the Old Testament is 400 years before the birth of Christ. And so all those books in the Old Testament have a time period between 1,100, 1,500 years before Christ to 400 years before Christ. So we have this 1,100 years of these books, of these 39 books, and then we have the New Testament, which is 27 books, which were written during and just after the death of Christ. And so we have essentially the Old Testament written over all these this time span, over almost thousands of years, and then the New Testament written over basically one lifetime. To understand how the book is compiled. And then normally what I say is, okay, so if all these books are in the Old Testament, one of the references I look at the book itself, why it's an authority. We see all these books in the Old Testament written before Jesus was born.
Mm-hmm.
But then we have one scripture I go to very often. And it's just, you remember the one scripture, so you just have to explain when the books were written. The Old Testament was written hundreds of years before Christ. That's basically what I say. And then I go to one scripture verse to start it off. I said, all you have to do is read John 5:39, where Jesus says, speaking to the Pharisees, who were the law keepers of his time in Judea, he says, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you find eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me. Now, the thing that you have to understand is, that's recorded what Jesus said. But when he said it, the New Testament wasn't in existence. You're reading it from John chapter 5, verse 39, which was written by the Apostle John, which recorded the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's one of the four Gospels, the first four books of the New Testament.
Right.
But Jesus is referencing the scriptures. And what scriptures is he referencing? Well, he's not referencing the New Testament. He's referencing the Old Testament.
So he's saying the verses in the Old Testament are actually about me.
He is actually saying, he's making an incredible claim. And all you have to do, and my challenge to people when I say this to them, is he's either correct or he isn't. The Old Testament, which was written before he was born, is either about him or it isn't.
Right.
And all you have to do is investigate yourself. The onus now is back on them. I've done the investigation, and then I'll give them scripture references in the Old Testament. But the entire Old Testament is a progressive revelation of God's plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, and then that promise is fulfilled in his birth and his life and his death and his resurrection. But it's foretold thousands of years before the events. And Jesus is pointing us back there. He's making that claim. And all we have to do is challenge him on that claim. Is he correct? If he's not right, forget the whole thing. But if he is correct, what are the implications? The implications are that he's God.
And why is that?
Because
how do you jump to that?
I jump to that because how can someone have their life foretold before they come into to be born?
Right.
And so he is eternal. He is God incarnate in flesh. And that's, but we see a progressive revelation of God and his plan, and it's fulfilled in Christ. And God became flesh, God became man, and died for us. And that was the plan, right? That is the entire theme of the Bible. In fact, when I talk to people with the theme of the Bible, they look at the New and the Old Testament and all these different books. What's the theme? There is a theme of the Bible. And in fact, the scriptures tell us. I don't have to explain it. I go right to the scriptures to let the Bible explain itself. And the theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. For we look in 2 Timothy in the New Testament, chapter 3, verse 15, where Paul, writing to his protege Timothy, Paul is about to be killed. Mm-hmm. He was put to death, and it's the last letter he ever wrote, so it carries a lot of weight.
Right.
And he talks about the most important things, and he writes to Timothy, and he says, Timothy, knowing the Holy Scriptures, he says, which are able to make you wise unto salvation in Christ through faith in Jesus Christ. So the Old Testament in the Bible, the scriptures are the purpose of the Bible is to make us wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. Again, Paul is not referencing the New Testament, which gives us talks about the fulfillment of those Old Testament scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about those Old Testament scriptures were written before Christ was born.
That make you wise unto salvation, that say Jesus is coming and he's going to be the one to save us.
That point to the very reality that was fulfilled in Christ. And so there's no scholars that would argue about the dating of the writing of the Old Testament books, and the earliest one to the birth of Christ is some 400 years before his birth.
So how do they verify that?
Oh, there's no scholar, there's no academic scholar, there's nobody that would argue with that now. That's a settled fact. The writing of these scriptures, is the dating is there's no dispute there. You can take that and look at that yourself. There's no question when they were written. Now, the question that you have to satisfy is Jesus and is Paul, when he writes to Second Timothy, is he correct? Is the Bible, the Old Testament and the New Testament, is it about Jesus Christ and the redemption that we have through him? And the reality is, it is. And it's fantastic the way that God has revealed that through progressive revelation over time and through his word, written by many different people, penned by different people, but it is inspired by him and so by the Holy Spirit. And so it's amazing. And that I put the challenge back in other people's hands. Now, the thing you have to remember is this is not an intellectual exercise. The reality is that we come to Christ through the Spirit of God who leads us. But the evidence points us in the right direction.
Right.
And opens up our minds. You know, there's a saying I've heard before, if the mind, the heart cannot rejoice in what the mind cannot reconcile. You know, so there has to be reason. Mm-hmm. And there has to be evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the great scriptures about that is in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. You know the verse?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it says, what the faith is, it describes to us what our faith is. And this is where people think our faith is blind, or we follow just a hope that has no evidence. And the interesting thing is about Scripture, it even tells us what faith is. Now, it says in Hebrews 11:1, it says, now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So it's telling us that faith is based on evidence.
Okay.
And so there needs, if God, the evidence has to be there to support our faith. Our faith is not blind.
Because when I think of evidence, I think of something tangible, something I can interact with. Like if you're doing an experiment, the evidence is there that, you know, that your hypothesis is correct.
Well, sure.
But it's saying it's the evidence of things unseen. So is he saying that there's physical evidence of an unseen principle?
There's physical evidence to support the unseen, the hope of our fulfillment in our eternal life in Christ. The evidence that God has given us is there. And so, but the idea that our faith. What is your faith? Our faith is, we have a blind faith, people would say. It's just wishful thinking. But it's not. In fact, all of us live every day, in fact, almost every moment, in faith in something. If we don't have faith in anything, we can't do anything.
Okay, what do you mean?
Well, I mean by if I was to go up in this room and I wanted to, if I said, if I get up and turn that light switch on, the light will come on.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I believe that. Now, if I can say that as much as I want and say I believe it, but the reality of my faith will be expressed and proven when I actually get up and go and turn the light on. Now, my faith is justified. My belief is justified, and my actions are justified. So my faith is the investment of myself into that which I believe, which I have good evidence to be true.
You actually have to get up and take the steps towards.
Faith is an action. It is moving in the direction of what your belief, what you have good reasons to believe in. So there's evidence to support what you believe in, and your faith is your movement in that direction.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so...
So where can you point us to a scripture in the Old Testament that you've often used to refer people to that show where Christ is in the Old Testament?
I would point people there very simply. So if you think of a conversation now that you might have with someone about your faith, and very quickly you can reference and explain the dating of the Old and New Testament, that the Bible is divided into two sections, and the dating of the books, that all the Old Testament's written before the birth of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at the New Testament where it's recorded his life and his death and his resurrection, and it's recorded what he has said, and we see in John chapter 5, verse 39. So that's the only scripture reference you have to remember. That's one of them. There's only a few
John
you have 5, to remember 39. To go through this. John 5, 39.
Okay.
And Jesus makes the claim, and he's talking about the scriptures he's talking to the Pharisees that they search the scriptures for eternal life. But these are the scriptures that testify about me and explain that he's actually referencing the Old Testament.
So that's one verse that you'd point people to.
That gets us looking at
reference.
The Old Testament. Okay. And so I pose the question to them. Jesus is making this claim that the Old Testament, written hundreds of years before his birth, is about him.
Right.
All they have to do is see if it's true or not. Do the investigation themselves.
And so where do you recommend, like, how do you even start? Because some people, I don't know, maybe some of you haven't even really opened the Bible, or maybe you've done the old, okay, open it and read wherever it folds open to. So how do you even get started? Jen and I have talked in previous episodes about how we actually read the Bible every day and how God speaks to us through that. But to really do an in-depth study and learn about the authority of the scripture, where should we start?
Well, I think we should stay focused on, this is an apologetic moment I'm explaining. So,
okay, what do you mean by that?
So you have an opportunity now to give evidence for the authority of the scripture. And you're having a conversation, you're sharing your faith, and people are questioning your faith and the authority of the Bible, which you keep referencing to. And this is a quick way, by referencing John 5:39, giving them a quick explanation of how the Bible is compiled with Old and New Testament and the dating of the books, reference John 5:39, Jesus' claim, explain that he's referencing the Old Testament, and that posed the question to them. Is he correct? Because if he's not, you can write the whole thing off.
Hmm.
But if he is correct, then there's implications. And the implications are that he's God. He is who he says he is. And so you put the responsibility to investigate it back in their lap. Because if they want to write it off, you've given them some evidence. You've given, I'm not afraid for them to go and look because I know they're going to find the truth. In fact, I want to encourage them to do so.
Right.
But I'm putting it back in them. If they want to just, criticize without evidence or just give me their opinion, well, that's fine, but I need evidence. And if the evidence that I'm suggesting is greater and stands up, we're putting it on the table, basically, and say, okay, well, let's just see what the truth is. And so I would give them that challenge. And then I would ask them, okay, if you want to see, and there's a couple of references I often give. I give them, I tell them that this book of Psalms was written 1,000 years before Jesus by King David, most of it. And then I reference Isaiah 53. And so I just say, the Psalms, Psalm 22.
Okay.
And Isaiah 53.
Okay.
And so they can do all that, this whole thing, in a few moments, 10 minutes of looking at the Bible. And now they understand the dating of the writing, and they look at the evidence of the writing and what it's saying. And hopefully they're going to come back and have some more questions. We're going to have another discussion.
So, now, I've spoken to people about those verses before and sometimes got the response that, well, you know, how do I actually know that the book of Isaiah was written so many years before Christ? How do we know that?
Well, that's a simple scholarly, I mean, the writings of...
In fact, for an average guy like me...
In fact, you can reference the Dead Sea Scrolls.
Okay. So
because the Dead Sea Scrolls, you have the entire book of Isaiah recorded. And the dating of the Dead Sea Scrolls is not in dispute, and it's 150 to 200 years before Christ. So there you have it. And the great thing about the Dead Sea Scrolls is that it matches the book of Isaiah that we have now, the recording. That's the great thing. Nothing's changed.
Really? Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And so there you have it. And we have an old copy that's hundreds of years before Christ,
right,
which matches the copy that you're reading in your Bible now. So therefore, that gives it its dating authority.
Okay.
Okay. So that's a quick and people have heard of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They may not know what they are,
mm-hmm,
but when you reference them, they can quickly Google them and find out
what
they are.
And see that they're the book of Isaiah.
Yeah.
Actually, they were in the Royal Ontario Museum a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I think people saw them.
But the dating of the Old Testament is not under dispute, the books that are there. So
where would I go to find that? But you know, you say there's no scholar that would dispute that now, but I could just say that. But how do I find out that?
Well, again, you can Google the dating
of
the Old Testament quickly. I mean, any encyclopedia about the Old Testament books will give you the dating of the writing. And they don't have to be a Christian encyclopedia. They could be, secular encyclopedia, but the books of the Old Testament,
right,
there's no question about the dating anymore.
And one thing I find interesting about the Old Testament is that the books often refer to, like, the political scenario of the time and, like, who was reigning in Israel, and that is consistent with historical documents. So
well,
that
and we're making the claim that this is the Word of God. So it only stands to reason that God got his history right.
Yeah, you know it, right? I would hope so.
Right. And so we can stand in confidence. And again, that's another reason. You can then go into conversation. I don't care which way you come at the Bible, whether it's from the prophetic side, from the scientific side, from the historical side, mm-hmm, from, you know, it answers the big questions of life. It has a unity of all of these 66 books in the Bible,
mm-hmm,
that are tied together. Although they're written over a period of 1,500 years, they're tied together. There's a unity in these books, and they present a story and a plan of God that is just incredible. It's breathtaking,
mm-hmm,
when you consider all the time it took and the different people that penned these books in different circumstances, and yet they're tied together. There's a cohesion because the author is the Holy Spirit. And so it's just amazing. We see the amazing.
And do you remember, like, after you became a Christian, where that light bulb kind of came on, where you realized the Bible was the Word of God?
Yes.
And how did that happen?
It was doing a similar study like that.
Really?
Listening to, there's fantastic scholars that we have nowadays.
And who would you recommend?
From an apologetic standpoint, whether you want to look at technical things like dating and stuff like that, if you want to look at those types of things, or you want to look at making apologetics on a moral basis for the Bible, or is it, you know, the basis of the writings and how do they relate to the reality that we live in? They do, and they stand up like nothing else. And so the apologetic approach that you're taking, whatever subject you're looking at, there are some great authors out there right now. Ravi Zacharias,
okay,
from the point perspective of presenting the scriptures as the Word of God from a moralistic lining up with the reality that we live in.
Right.
I would recommend, from a technical standpoint, Josh McDowell has a wonderful book. The evidence, it's evidence that's worth
Evidence that demands a verdict.
Evidence that demands a verdict.
Yeah,
yes.
I think Carmen actually also recommended that one to me after our discussion last week. So,
yeah.
And actually, if you want to be able to get any of those resources, you can go to our website, neweveryday.tv, and click our partners page, and you can go to Amazon through there and get resources from any of those authors through our website. So, wow, Dad, it's a great start. And I know that we've had so many discussions about this in the past, and I've always just so appreciated it. So thank you so much for coming, and I hope that you will come on again, maybe next week.
Sure.
Okay, thanks so much. Thanks for tuning in to New Every Day. Dad, would you just pray as we close?
Sure.
That'd be great.
Heavenly Father, we give you thanks that you are mindful of us. Who are we that you are mindful of us, Father? But you love us, and you pour out your grace upon us. Father, you've proven yourself. You've shown us, and you say in your word, Father, that I will show you who I am and prove my word by. I will show you these things, that they will become true. Your word is truth, Lord. And so I'll tell you things. You say you'll tell us things before they happen, and they do, Father. Your word lines up. And so, Father, we thank you, and that you've taken the time. You've given us the evidence, Father. You've given us, it's reasonable. The evidence that you've given us, Father, points us to who you are. And I pray that we would follow that evidence if we're searching, that those that are searching, Father, would find you. They would be pointed in your direction by the evidence, and they would follow it to where it leads. And by your grace, Father, it leads us to the foot of the cross and salvation in Jesus Christ. So we give you thanks, Lord. In his precious name, amen.
Amen. Thanks again. Okay. And thank you. We hope you'll tune in next week for episode 22. Have a great week.